Go, Purananda, Hari Hari Go. All glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so we're reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 19, Text 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Alright. Kim Duskarayar Naha Pratubis Tapo Pratayar Dana Divir Va Yujayena Omuna Nayatra Narayana Pada Pankaja Smitihi Ramustati Sayan Vriyot Sabat. Kim duskarayana kratibis tapo vratayar. I'll go slower. Zanati virva dujayena palguna. Nayacha narayana para pankaja. Smriti Pramushtat Tishayan Briyot Savat. Kim Duskarayar Na Krati Vista Povratayar. Nanadhi Virva Dujayena Falguna. Yatra Narayana Pada Pankaja Smriti Pramushtati Shayan Vriyot Savat. Kim Duskararna Kuti Vistapo Retires. Annani virvadu jayena falguna. Evuvina yatra narayana para pankaja. Smriti pramustayas. Smriti pramustati atatishayan vriyotsavat. Okay.
Kim duskarena katu bhishta pavrate.
Kim duskarena katu bhishta pavrate.
Vanadhi bhir vadyo chayena palguna.
Hey, Radhakrishna, it's good to see you. We're in Motoko, Fiji. And Doshan Krishna. Hey, it's very good to see you too. Hope to see you this summer in Europe.
Let's see. Okay, go ahead. Who else? Any other brave souls? No? Ladies, men, living entities?
Yeah.
Yesterday was Gaur Purnima, not today. Of course. For you, it's Gaur Purnima today. Hey, Nandananda, we missed you yesterday. Good to see you. Kim, what is the value? Dushkanahe. Very difficult to perform. Naha. Power. Kratubihi. With performances of sacrifice. Tapaha. With austerities. Ratahai. Vows. Dana anibihi, with executing charitable activities and so on. Va, or yujayena, with achieving the heavenly kingdom. O guna, which is insignificant. Na, no. Yatra, where? Narayana Pada Pankaja, of the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. Smitihi, the remembrance. Pramushta, lost. Matishya, excessive. Indriya Utsavat, due to material sense gratification. So translation, the demigods continue after performing the very difficult tasks of executing Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, undergoing austerities, observing vows and giving charity. We have achieved this position as inhabitants of the heavenly planets. But what is the value of this achievement? Here we are certainly very engaged in material sense gratification, and therefore we can hardly remember the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. Indeed, because of our excessive sense gratification, we have almost forgotten his lotus feet. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The land of Bharatavarsha is so exalted that by taking birth there, one can not only attain the heavenly planets, but also go directly back home, back to Godhead. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, text 25, Yanti deva vrta devan, Pitrin yanti patrivataha, Utani yanti bhuteja, Yanti madhyajino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors. And those who worship me will live with me. People in the land of Bharatavarsha generally follow the Vedic principles and consequently perform great sacrifices by which they can be elevated to the heavenly planets. However, what is the use of such great attainments? As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the 9th chapter, text 21, Shanepanyamarchalokam vishanti, after the results of one's sacrifices, charity, and other pious activities inspire, one must return to the lower planetary systems and again feel the pangs of birth and death. However, One who becomes Krishna conscious can go back to Krishna yanti madhyasino bhimam. Therefore, the demigods even regret having been elevated to the higher planetary systems. The denizens of the heavenly planets regret that they could not take full advantage of being born in the land of Vartavarsha. Instead, they become captivated by a higher standard of sense gratification, and therefore they forget the lotus feet of Lord Narayan at the time of death. The conclusion is that one who has taken birth in the land of Vartavarsha must follow the instructions given personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should try to return home back to Godhead, to the Vaikuntha planets, or to the topmost Vaikuntha planet, Taloka Vrindavan, to live it eternally in full blissful knowledge in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Duskararna Katupista Povratire Danani Virva Yu Ajayena Palguna Nayatra Narayana Pada Pankaja Smriti Prabhus Tatishayendriotsavat. All right. So, Om Gana Timurandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuru Muritam Yena Tesmai Shigurame Maha. So the heavenly planets are quite attractive. It's described there that not only do people live a long time, but their bodies are extremely fragrant. They don't have bad body odors. The mangoes, those of you who like mangoes, are practically bigger, much bigger than this building. Can you imagine that? No skin, no seed, and when they fall to the ground, they create rivers of mango juice. Wow. Pretty nice. Instead of going swimming in the ocean, here you go swimming in mango juice. You can drink it. And people don't get old. So it's a pretty nice place. Of course, there are some problems. I'll elaborate on the problems. One problem is, of course, as Prabhupada quotes here in Bhagavad Gita, Shinipunye Marche Lokana Shamati, that when one's good karma runs out, then you come back to the earth planet. In other words, people are up in the higher planets because of good karma. They have a positive bank balance of good karma. And as you know, if you go somewhere and you're not working and you're going on vacation, you're spending your hard-earned money, and when it's over, you've got to come back to work. You get 2 weeks. In America, you only get 2 weeks for vacation. In different countries, actually, they're actually even better. They give you like maternity leave. I was just speaking to the devotees in Australia that they get a whole year of vacation, either the man or the woman. Paternity or maternity leave. You heard about that before? But then you gotta get back to work, because it's not that you just go on paternity leave. Of course, some people keep having children one after the other, and they can go on, you know, they can go on maternity leave for like 20 years if they had 20 children. But in any case, someone has to work. And so when you go up to the heavenly planets, all the good karma runs out, and then you come back down to the earth planet, then you gotta get to work again. And you go up again, and then the problem is, when you're in the earth planet, you became enamored with the lower modes, and then you forget about going to the heavenly planets, and you go down to the lower regions of the universe. So, anyway, so that's the first point. It's temporary. Second point, there's anxiety. Because why is there anxiety? Because first of all, the demons, sometimes they want to take over the heavenly planets. You find Bali Maharaj took over the heavenly planets. There's so many examples of that. They're fighting. When you have something, people are envious and they want to take it from you. That's one of the problems. Another problem is even the demigods fight amongst each other. There's instances that sometimes they steal each other's wives. You think this is something modern.
you know, like what is it called, wife swapping. You think this, oh, this is something modern only in Kali Yuga. Well, the demigods do that too. Bhagavatam has some descriptions of that. So you can't even be sure your wife is going to stay with you in the heavenly planets. I mean, it's a lot of anxiety there. Attacks, lust, anger, anxiety, because as described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kam Sakala Yashanta Krishna Bhakta Nishka Mata Eva Shanta. That if one is wanting material sense gratification, one is wanting liberation even, or powers, or anything in this world, then you might not be agitated. Because as Krishna says in the Gita, Abhidham Gyanam Etena Gyanam Nam Chimayana Kramarupena Gondiya Pushpurena Lengacha, that the more you have, the more you want. You don't find people like a businessman, he makes some money and he has a nice house, but then he wants more. He wants a better house, bigger house. And sometimes people have such big houses, only a man and his wife are living in a 30-room house. Isn't it? You see that sometimes. And they think that they're enjoying life. They just have to worry about... They become house servants, servants of the house. Paying for servants to live. So, any of these things cause anxiety. But there's a bewildering factor of the material world that when you do get this happiness, you forget about how much anxiety you're in. So it's like sukha and dukkha. And that's what happens with the demigods. The happiness is so great. Yes, they pray like this. They're praying, sure. We want to remember you, we can't remember you, Krishna, because, you know, there's so much opulence here. But then, 10 minutes from now, they'll forget what their prayers are. Because everything is so nice. You know, even we on the earth planet, when things get nice, we forget that we're devotees. You know, if there's some Fiji 7 game on the television or something like that, you forget that your goal of life is Krishna consciousness. Isn't it? You just watch it and forget. And that's not even material happiness. That's mode of passion, mode of ignorance. So what does mean the material happiness? It's very bewildering. Just like I give the example many times of our ISKCON movement in Hawaii. Because Prabhupada said, as far as the middle planets, the earth planets, the only nice place in the earth planet, middle planets, or at least the earth planet, is Hawaii. Some of you, anyone here been to Hawaii? No, no one's been to Hawaii. Maybe Tanaka will go someday. He has a visa. So, and there, the weather's perfect. It's better than Fiji. So the weather's perfect. Mangoes are growing all year round. The papayas are this big. The avocados are this big. You can feed a whole family with an avocado. And when I was GBC of Hawaii, nobody came to Bhagavatam class because they were all surfing at that time in the morning. Where are all the brahmacharis? Oh, they're surfing. And at night, where are all the brahmacharis? Well, they're with their girlfriends. So, it's not that everybody was like that. But it was, and then we had some devotees who were living in the jungle. You know, Prabhupada disciple, I had one friend who was a Prabhupada disciple. He was living in the jungle. And I said, how can you live like that? He said, oh, there's fruits and flowers and trees. It's very beautiful. And waterfalls. You know, we went to a few blocks from the temple. There was a waterfall. You could jump off the waterfall into this big pond. And it was just like, I couldn't. So, anyway, so the devotees there in general were not so serious. Of course, now they may be serious, but they were not so serious. And that's really what happens when one has too much opulence. And even Queen Kunti, she talks about this. She says, Janmai Shvarya Shudasya Shibir Edamada Adapumad. She says, opulence like either money or beauty or intelligence, or good birth, it just bewilders one. So one cannot maintain the determination to be Krishna consciousness.
Aishwarya, Prasaktananda, Yaya, Pinti, Jesus, Sam, Yogasayatma, Gaudu, Yoga, Samadhi, Nava, Thiyate. That's actually from the Bhagavatam. Then one is attached to Apu in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm sorry. That's Bhagavad Gita verse. Prasaktananda. One is attached to opulence. The resolute determination for devotional service doesn't take place. And then one cannot be happy, because real happiness comes from a relationship with Krishna. From loving relationship. That's where happiness comes. It doesn't come from how many cars you have, how many cell phones you have, how much you have to eat. Like we were given the example the other day, that, you know, if you take into account how much halava you've eaten, you could fill this whole temple up. Right? How much halava, how much potatoes, halava sabji, you've eaten. And then where's the happiness from that gone? Where is it? But the loving relationship with Krishna is so nice. And that loving relationship gets sweeter, not only, leaving the material world, going to the spiritual world, but it gets sweeter in the spiritual world as you go to Krishna Loka. Because here, Prabhupada is talking about the Vaikuntha planets. Vaikuntha planets are filled with opulence. I mean, external opulence. I was thinking about this morning as we were driving here. That Fiji is really an opulent country with all these green things and everything like that. But everyone is wanting to put concrete everywhere. It's like when I was first went to Vrindavan, 1972 or something. It was all green and there were birds chirping. It was like you felt Krishna's presence. And you could hear Krishna's flute almost. But now they paved over paradise and put in a parking lot. There's actually a song like that. They paved paradise and put a parking lot. So Vrindavan is just like concrete, a concrete jungle now. Of course Krishna is still there, but it's harder to perceive the presence of Krishna with all this stuff like that. So, let's take the Vaikuntha planets. It's very opulent there. And of course, everyone there is a pure devotee. They're serving Krishna with the opulence. I understand that. They're not bewildered, anything like that. But the residents of Vrindavan, they're attached to the real opulence of the cows and the forest. That's why it's called Vrindavan. That means the forest of Vrindavan, isn't it? And there's 12 main forests in Vrindavan. And it's forests. It's interesting. It's a forest. And there's cows there. And there's monkeys there. Of course, there's monkeys even in Delhi. But anyway. But so the residents of Vrindavan don't even want to go to Dwarka. Which is interesting, isn't it? Because the real opulence is this intimate relationship with Krishna, where Krishna becomes their friend. In Dwarka, Krishna doesn't manifest that intimate friendship relationship so much. He's the king. And everybody goes to the Sudarshan assembly house to see Krishna, and Krishna has his wives. And so the gopis, they're not interested in leaving Vrindavan. Even when Krishna apparently is not present there, right? The gopis could leave. Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, they could leave Vrindavan to be in Dwarka if they wanted. But why don't they do that? Because of the mood of being with Krishna in this intimate way. And that is the highest happiness. And because even the description is given, even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, she's attached to the opulence of worshipping Narayan in a very opulent way, and she can't even enter into Vrindavan. It's an amazing thing. Lord Chaitanya had this discussion with Venkatavata and Prabhupada Saraswati, who was the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami,
And Lord Chaitanya said to them, why is it that Lakshmi, in spite of performing so many austerities to enter Vrindavan, could not enter Vrindavan? And because of the attachment to the opulence, you know, the opulent mode of worship. And also it's a description that if one is attached simply to Vaidhi Bhakti, the rules and regulations, and not developing this spontaneous attachment, which we were talking about yesterday, is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came down to teach. This is the verse we read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita yesterday, remember? The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach this worship of Krishna, a spontaneous worship of Krishna. Then we can't enter Vrindavan. So we have to be ready to basically sacrifice all opulences. And of course, sometimes we use opulences in Krishna's service, which is all right. But we have to be ready to just be very, very simple, humble, like Lord Chaitanya said, lower than a blade of grass, devoid of all sense of prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. Amanina, Manadena, Kirchniya, said, not wanting any respect and offering all respects to others. And in such a mood, with this simple Raj mood, the simple Vrindavan mood, then one can actually chant the holy name, Krishna's holy name, and one can actually enter into the mood of Vrindavan. And that's what our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for. To be simple in our hearts. Like Prabhupada said, simple living, I think, you know, we can think highly, but in our hearts we should be cultivating this sweet madhurya. That's why it's called, the highest rasa is called madhurya rasa. I mean sweetness. The rasa of sweetness. So we should be cultivating this. Whatever else we're doing, whether we're preaching, but internally we should be cultivating this freedom from all attachments to opulences. And then we can actually enter into Vrindavan. Vishaya chariya kavi shuddha hamimana kalihama hey bravo Sri Vrindavana. This is the key. So here the demigods, they're very attached to their opulences, they're lamenting, but still, they still can't approach Vrindavan because of this attachment to the opulences. So, how do we get detached from the opulences? The method of doing that, the method of becoming simple, is to hear and chant about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. This is the business of the Krishna consciousness movement, to enter into Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Alright, so on that happy note, any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems?
Heavenly planets are more elevated than the earthly planets.
Yes, definitely.
But they are overcome by demons. It shows that even people from these earthly planets can also take over them sometimes.
Can also take over the heavenly planets? No, we don't take over the heavenly planets. The only way to go to the heavenly planets for us is to perform pious activities and sacrifices. These Vedic sacrifices are meant to elevate one's heavenly planets. Another point is that Krishna makes in the Gita that if a devotee is not very advanced, then the next life they take birth in the heavenly planets. And then they come down and take birth in a rich family in the next life after that. And then if one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one takes birth in a family of transcendentalists, like your children, for example. That means they were very advanced in this, in the last life. So, Prabhupada also said that even if a devotee is a little advanced, goes to the heavenly planets, they can get bewildered. It's not to say that they will actually take up Krishna consciousness. They're getting the advantage of going to the heavenly planets, the advantage of being born in a rich family, but they may not take up Krishna consciousness still. Of course, their advancement is never lost, but it may take several births before they then take up Krishna consciousness. So, no, the earth people generally don't go to the heavenly planets. I mean, once in a while you find someone like Arjuna
going there to get some weapons, but we don't go and take over the heavenly planets. The way to go for us to the heavenly planets is to get punya. What?
Ravana,
yeah, Ravana what? Yeah, yeah, first of all, he was a devotee, ultimately. Second of all, he did a lot of austerities, and he pleased Lord Brahma, got the benediction that no one could kill him, at least the demigods couldn't kill him, the higher beings couldn't kill him, he eliminated, he didn't deal with human beings or animals. So he was also, he was also from a very high family, a Brahmin family. So anyway, the demons, somehow the demons do have that power to go there and take it over from time to time. And Bali Maharaj, she did many austerities too, and acquired a lot of pious activities in order to go to the heavenly planets. Bali Maharaj, he worshipped his spiritual master, Shukracharya, pleased his spiritual master very much. So Shukracharya was into karma kanja activities too. Shukracharya even advised Bali Maharaj at one point to worship Lord Vishnu. But then he retracted that later on when Lord Vishnu came in the form of Lord Brahmanadev. So, anyway, so the demons, they do some austerities in order to become powerful. It's not just that the demons can go to the heavenly planets, but they have to perform some austerities, worship their spiritual master. So there's some karma kanja stuff built in there. But the earth people cannot go without performing pious activities. But what's the use? What's the use of going to the heavenly planets? Because you can't be happy. Yayatma superseded it. Savai pumsam. Halo dharma. Yato bhakti rhotsaje. Ahaitukiya pratyata yayatma superseded it. Bhagavatam tells us if you want the heart of the self to be satisfied, you have to engage in unalloyed, unalloyed, causeless devotional service to Krishna. That's the only thing that makes this happen. The other things just put us in anxiety. At most, material happiness is the cessation or the stopping of distress for some time. You know, we preach like this oftentimes to new people, that the reason you enjoy eating is because you're hungry. The reason you enjoy illicit life is because you're lusty. Lust doesn't make people happy. Hunger doesn't make people happy. Thirst doesn't make, you know, like the reason you enjoy drinking is you're thirsty. So all the different types of material happiness, and Lord Chaitanya gave the example of the dunking stool, that people who are punished by being put underwater, criminals, and they are allowed to come up after about 3 or 4 minutes before they finally die from drowning. They breathe and they think, oh, this is ecstasy. You understand? I think this is happiness, to breathe. Like let's say I go to you and grab your throat. And I don't, you know, grab your throat and not letting you breathe. And go, oh, Guru Maharaj. And then I tell you, if you're killed by your guru, you go back to Godhead. So, but let's say, you know, like when you're killed by Krishna. So, let's say I grab you by your throat. And I hold you by that, and you can't breathe, and finally after a few minutes I go, oh, you go, oh, thank you, Guru Maharaj, I feel so good now. So that's the happiness. It's all based upon desires. Desires that can't be satisfied. Desires that are making us unhappy. So many desires, they're just making us unhappy. We have to realize that.
And a devotee is like the ocean, example given by Krishna in the Gita, where all the desires or all the rivers are rushing in, the ocean remains the same. The desires will come and go. But they're like harassing us. Bhukti, like witches that are harassing us. All these different desires we have. And of course, most of you haven't realized that. You think your desires are nice. They're giving you happiness. However, the real happiness, the atma supersedite, yato bhakti hoksate, is actually just loving Krishna and serving Krishna and being in Vrindavan. Being in Vrindavan with Krishna and running to the with the cows in Krishna, or dancing with Krishna, or feeding Krishna. Just like you have your deity worship, it's like that. That's the real happiness. You can ask the devotees who like deity worship, why do they like it? Because it's a personal reciprocation with the deity. You have to trust Krishna. The deity worship is training us up for what we will be doing in the spiritual world. You get to trust Krishna, feed Krishna. It's so cool. Anyways, it's so nice, isn't it? Those of you who go on the altar. You get to comb Krishna's hair. Wow! And that's love. That's a personal loving exchange. That's what happiness is based on, love. And if you love Krishna, you love everyone. You can enjoy loving exchanges with everyone, bringing people back to Krishna. That's real happiness. And that's where I get my happiness from. This other stuff is just like boring. Isn't it? There's a saying in English, been there, seen it, done it. I mean, it's boring. I mean, how many times, like I give the example again, how many times have you eaten? It's boring. You're not bored. I know you're not bored. I know I'm just speaking to the wall here. It's boring. How many romantic Bollywood movies have you seen? It's boring. It's the same damn story. Right? But you're not bored. It's crazy. That's called Hunas, Hunas, Char, Vita, Char, Vama, Nam. Chewing the chew. Balad Maharaj says that. Chewing the chew. That's, so you say, how much food have you eaten? How many? Anyway, whatever. How many times? I mean, it's like when I was on the way to Fiji, I was looking at the Fiji magazine, the Fiji Airways magazine, showing all these different things that people do in Fiji, jet skis, and they have this other thing where it's like a water rocket, you put them on your shoe, you seen that? And people fly in the air. I mean, it's just like, it's just trying to squeeze this material body in different ways to try to find some happiness. Isn't it? I mean, it's crazy. Chewing the chew. So, on that happy note, any other questions? Yeah.
So you just said now that the people from the earth planet with good karma go to the
heavenly planets.
If someone goes there and desires, he's bored of that opulence,
yeah,
self gratification, desires to attain Krishna. Does he have to come back here or he goes up?
He can go directly up, yes. However, it's harder. It's much harder. When you have a lot of opulence, that's what I was describing when I was talking about Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti was saying that these opulences bewilder the mind. And one has to really, I mean, it's not that one can go back to Godhead and be opulent. Like Butch and Tanya's associate, Pundarik Vijayanidhi, he was very opulent. Everybody thought he was in Maya, especially Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. This story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They thought He's in Maya. But when they chanted the verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he showed his transcendental ecstasy, they understood he was in Yoga Maya rather than Mahamaya. But generally, if we accept more than necessary, then that bewilders us. You know, if you accept more than necessary, we have our quota. This is what the Upanishad teaches us. Everyone has their quota. What if we accept more? Like, let's say I'm very attached to sannyasi clothes, so I want to have like 100 different outfits or something like that. Silk and what else? Different embroidery. I remember when I first took sannyas, you had to get embroidered shirts. You know, very beautiful shirts. They were each costing a lot of money. You haven't made them in India. And so and the sannyasins were showing off their shirts to each other. And then they were showing off their watches. And now they show off their mobile phones and computers to each other. So, what do they say? A pauper is proud of his penny. So, if we become attached to these things, and we accept more than we need. If you eat more, collect more than you need. Of course, you can collect unlimitedly for spreading Krishna consciousness. That's good. For serving the devotees, for spreading Krishna consciousness. But if you have more than you need, then it bewilders you. Then you become a servant of those things. Like I was describing it. Rich man who has a big house, a 30-room house, and it's only him and his wife. Thank you. Any love? Yeah, you sound great. Okay.
It's called Yoga Maya Mahamaya.
Yeah. No, it's different. There's a difference. Mahamaya is in charge. Of course, Mahamaya expands from Yoga Maya. Mahamaya is Durga. Mahamaya is Krishna's pure devotee. But she puts people into illusion so they try to enjoy this material world. The Yoga Maya puts people into illusion so they forget Krishna's God so they can have an intimate relationship with God, with Krishna. That's right. Yeah, for pure devotees.
Mahamaya is for us.
For you? Hopefully not. Mahamaya is to keep people in illusion. She has two potencies. She throws you and keeps you. That means she throws you into illusion and keeps you because you're thinking, oh, I want to join the Hare Krishna movement. And she says, no, you have so much to do. I remember before I joined the movement, Mahamaya appeared personally as one of my friends. I was living with two other friends, and I told them I want to join the movement. And they understood the philosophy. They also chanted Hare Krishna. And they said, no, you have too much desires to work out first. You should stay in the material world. The reason they were saying that is because I was maintaining them and cooking for them. You know, because I had some money, they didn't have any money, and I was paying all their bills. So that was the real reason. So then I said, no, this is nonsense. So I joined the movement, and then 3 days later they both joined because they had no one to cook for them and take care of them. So that was how Mahamaya appeared personally to test me. But she tests you. She tests you to see, so that she throws you in Maya and she keeps you in Maya. Yeah. First of all, you decide to become a devotee, it's a moment-by-moment decision. It's not you decide once, I'm a devotee. A devotee means someone who is devoted. So we understand that sometimes we think like devotees, probably about 5 minutes a day, and then the rest of the day, we're thinking like demons. So it's not you join the movement, I'm a devotee. Lord Chaitanya said, if I had some devotion, if I was a devotee, I wouldn't be able to live because I was feel too much separation from Krishna. So of course, if someone in the street asks us, are you a devotee? Don't say no. You say, you know, don't be too humble and say, you know, they say, are you a devotee of Krishna? No, I'm just a demon most of the time. In that circumstance, you say, yes, I'm a devotee. But internally, I don't think I'm a devotee. I don't think I'm a devotee. I think, you know, one day I'm hoping to have some service to be a devotee. But practically we understand that a lot of our days we're not thinking devotional. Devotee means a 24-hour... Devotee means like someone who's in love. Some of you may have experienced being in love like 30 years ago. Because now that you're married, no more love. But anyway, so 30 years ago, let's say the marriage, you know, you look at each other, you put the garlands and the vermilion, you cover the head on. And then for about 2 or 3 days, you're thinking of each other. Does that happen? Yeah, 2 or 3 days. You're thinking of each other in great love. But to be Krishna conscious means that goes on forever. It's always you're infatuated with Krishna. That's what it means to be a devotee. Do you understand that? So most of the time we're in Mahamaya. And if for a few minutes in Mangal Arati or a few minutes while we're chanting our rounds, if our mind's not wandering, then, you know, we get a little taste. But most of the time the mind is wandering. We're chanting our japa. And the mind is thinking of so many things. So, anyway, does that answer the question? So it's time to greet the deities. Alright, thank you very much. We had a lot of devotees watching online. Sumukha. Sumukha dressed the deities this morning. Very nice. Not here. In Suva. And Sanjani Reddy. So many nice people were watching this morning from the United States, from Europe.